It's 6 past 12 and 75 degrees in Santa Fe. As At Noon continues from KSFR News on Friday, May 31st. Coming up this hour, the latest on that fire just north of Pecos. With the area facing the worst drought in a century, what are wildlife doing for water? We'll find out how to deal with animals that try to get a drink in your backyard. What to do about New Mexicans poorly prepared financially. And the Social Security Disability Insurance Program faces a bleak 2016. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagen, and more after headlines.
Fire officials now say that the nearby Tres Lagunas fire has consumed 1,000 acres, double the report from overnight hours. Dan Ware with the State Forestry Division says weather conditions this afternoon are not expected to be helpful.
Well, we're talking about a pretty big fire in an area that is very rugged and inaccessible. I doubt we're going to see any kind of full containment as of today. Right now, we are at 5% contained. I'm hopeful that that number will increase through the day. But with the winds, with the way they're expected this afternoon, we do expect to see a lot of very active fire behavior.
The blaze, 10 miles north of Pecos, has prompted evacuations of some 134 mostly seasonal homes in the area. The fire continues to burn to the north along both sides of a closed portion of Highway 63. Some 280 personnel are currently assigned to the scene. The fire broke out Thursday afternoon, thought to have been started by a downed power line. The state Supreme Court has ruled that about 10,000 state workers should get back pay, amounting to a total of more than $20 million. The court said the Richardson administration improperly used an appropriation that had been approved for unionized workers and instead spread it out in pay raises for all workers across the board. Governor Susana Martinez is complaining that no appropriation exists this year to abide by the court's order. Her office says they have to explore options to make the payments. A unanimous ruling today from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia has affirmed a firearm reporting requirement impacting gun sellers in Arizona, California, Texas, and New Mexico. Federal law enforcement must be notified when someone in any of those states buys multiple high-powered rifles within 5 business days. The rule is a 2011 Obama administration initiative to stem soaring drug violence in Mexico, carried out in part using firearms that originated in the United States. President Obama has today called on Congress to help keep college affordable for middle-class families and students by preventing student loan interest rates from doubling from the current 3.4% to 6.8% on July 1st. The White House has released some details specific to New Mexico regarding Obama's plan for controlling student loan costs. For the new fiscal year, it posits $142 million in loans here by some 40,000 borrowers, accessing some $3,500 each. With a locked-in lifetime interest rate of 2.9%, New Mexico students would save almost $1,000 a year. Loan repayments would never total more than 10% of any student's earnings once in the workplace. The agency that supplies irrigation water to farmers in the Middle Rio Grande Valley says it's almost out of stored water. The Middle Rio Grande Conservancy District normally supplies irrigation water to farmers from March until the end of October. But they tell the New Mexico Business Weekly that they'll be lucky to have enough supply just to reach July 4th. Some 11,000 farmers depend on the water. Jamie Estrada, a former campaign manager for Governor Susana Martinez, is saying he has done nothing wrong in response to an indictment by a federal grand jury. 12 counts against Estrada accuse him of computer intrusion and false statement charges for seizing control of a Martinez campaign website he had control over for a brief time back in 2009. He never surrendered the passkeys to the site and, according to the indictment, accessed it in 2011 and rerouted email communications intended for the governor and her staff to another site under his control. Estrada then allegedly distributed some communiques to state politicos critical of the Martinez administration's policies. To our north, the Taos Drum Company suffered a damaging fire Thursday afternoon, with two storage buildings burned to the ground and a third suffering extensive damages. The Taos News reports that volunteers from several regional fire departments were dispatched to the site, including Bureau of Land Management, shortly after 5 p.m. No injuries reported other than someone needing to be treated for smoke inhalation at the scene. The fire prompted a temporary closure of State Route 68 and County Road 110. The move of the 1st District Courthouse from Katrin Street to the new complex on Montezuma Avenue is accelerating. The final efforts will require the courts to close at the middle of next week, reopening in the new space on Monday, June 10th. It's a traditional final ride home this afternoon for retiring Santa Fe Fire Department Chief Barbara Salas. She's been with the department since 1995 and became its first female fire chief back in 2009. The 4:30 ride begins at Fire Station 1 near Fort Marcy Park, passes near the plaza, and ends at the south side's Santa Maria de la Paz Church. Eric Litzenberg is Santa Fe's new fire chief. Weather for Santa Fe: sunny, windy, and dry today with highs near 80 degrees. Red flag warnings once again in place due to wind and low humidity readings combining to make for critical fire conditions. More tranquil weather expected for tomorrow, and Sunday ushers in a 20% chance for afternoon and evening thundershowers. Highs both days near 80 with overnight lows in the upper 40s. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
On Wall Street, financial markets are down a fraction. The Dow Jones is off 9 points at 15,315. 12:13 on At Noon. In case you missed the latest update, that fire burning north of Pecos has doubled in size to 1,000 acres since yesterday afternoon. And more firefighters and equipment have been assigned to help stop it. They number nearly 300 at this point. Earlier, I spoke with Dan Ware of the Forestry Division about the Tres Lagunas fire.
Fire activity overnight was somewhat subdued because of higher humidity, lower temperatures, and lower winds. We do expect a very active day today, and then because of that, we have a lot of resources pouring into this fire. Evacuations of areas north of Macho Creek in Pecos Canyon are still in effect, and Highway 63 through the canyon is closed. We have evacuations of about 134 structures, and that includes 10 or so primary residences, but a majority of those structures evacuated are summer or seasonal homes, which weren't occupied at this time, but they do remain under the evacuation order because of their location.
We have red flag warnings today. Any chance it could be contained today in that kind of conditions?
Well, we're talking about a pretty big fire in an area that is very rugged and inaccessible. I doubt we're going to see any kind of full containment as of today. Right now, we are at 5% contained. I'm hopeful that that number will increase through the day, but with the winds, with the way they're expected this afternoon, we do expect to see a lot of very active fire behavior.
We're seeing some reports that a down power line may have caused this fire.
That's our initial belief, but of course, just to make sure, we will have investigators looking at the area where the fire started, just kind of piecing over the evidence to make sure. But our initial call-out was to a down power line that caused the fire.
That's interesting because that's the very cause of the huge Las Conchas fire near Los Alamos.
Correct. And, you know, the Las Conchas fire, it was this series of events, a tree being blown over in the wind that got blown onto the power line, it burned through the power line and then hit the ground. So not sure exactly what the circumstances are, whether or not it was just an arcing transformer that caused the sparks or if the line came down and actually hit the ground. That's what the investigators will be looking at.
Does it appear now that this fire north of Pecos is moving further north or in another direction?
As of this morning, it was moving mostly to the east. Now, as fire usually does at night, it lays down and it becomes less active. but it was still burning in an easterly direction.
Dan Ware at the State Forestry Division. Indeed, the latest wind forecast calls for winds from the west, which would push that fire further to the east. 12:16 on at noon from KSFR News. Well, that Tres Lagunas fire has not been helped by the extent of the drought. New Mexico remains the worst spot in the nation for drought, and that's having an effect on wildlife. In fact, the new feeding and watering area for wildlife has become people's backyards. Catherine Eagleson is executive director of the Wildlife Center in Española and joins us on the line. You're the place most people think of when they find a starving animal. Have you been inundated?
Well, we're getting an unusual number of mammals in, and mostly they're coming in from people's yards. We're getting just constant calls from people who are telling us, you know, we're seeing more of this in our yards than we've ever experienced before. We got more coyotes and more foxes and more bobcats and bunnies and, you know, just all down the line, even and snakes. And they're saying, you know, how come they're all in our yards and up close to our house and in our garages? And you know, my response is the yards are the best habitats right now given this third year of drought. People still water their yards. There's still grass in yards and shrubs and seeds. So animals are going to gravitate right now, especially when they're trying to feed babies, to the places where they have the best opportunity to find food.
I imagine there are some cautions if you see an animal, a wild animal, in your yard.
Well, there's a number of things that people can do, and one of the things that we're suggesting to people is that they make available water, especially at the peripheries of their yard. Put shallow pans of water out along the edges of your yard to keep the animals away from near your house. It's a good idea to put your bird feeders out there, too. We get a number of calls of people who say, how come there's so many rodents? And, you know, the rodents are following a seed trail. Bird feeders leak seed onto the ground. The rodents are finding that. The snakes are finding the rodents. It's a parade of animals, all trying to make the most of an opportunity they see in people's yards.
But should people chase these animals away or ignore them or try to pet them?
No, you should absolutely not try to befriend these animals. You know, if it's an animal that you can't tolerate having in your property, then you should try to discourage it from being there. For instance, if you see coyotes, you should yell at them or bang a pan or do something to try to intimidate them to move on. If it is animals just moving through, then enjoy it from a distance. But absolutely don't try to befriend them. It's a good idea that if you can provide some water and food for birds, but then when the bears start coming around, you got to get that seed in during the night times.
The idea is to put this water as far away from the house as you can.
Exactly. And make it so that animals aren't going to drown in it. Don't put a big stock tank out there unless they have a way of to get out of that tank.
Are you receiving animals at the Wildlife Center?
Yes.
How many are you getting?
We have about 100 mammals that have come in so far, which is quite a bit higher than normal. We're about on track with songbirds, which is, you know, about 100 of those, except that we got in about 12 yesterday. An interesting thing about the birds that we're getting in, we're getting in the normal kinds of babies that have blown out a nest and that kind of stuff, and people are unable to return them. We recommend that they return the babies to the nest if they possibly can. But we've gotten an unusual number of birds that are not injured and not orphaned. Their only problem is they're way underweight.
And people have actually picked these birds up?
People have been able to pick up, like, western screech owls and red-tailed hawks and Cooper's hawks, and the only thing that's wrong with them is that they're severely underweight.
But if a wild animal, a mammal, is brought to the Wildlife Center and then re-released, it doesn't have a very good chance of survival, does it?
Well, you know, it's probably not really high. We don't know the data for sure. We do the best we can to relocate them into a habitat where there's a sustainable food source and cover. But you never really know. And when we have a bobcat family right now. When you're dealing with animals that have territorial kinds of behaviors, it's very hard to know whether you're releasing animals into a territory that's already occupied. We do the best we can to figure that out. But you know, the absolute best outcome is if you don't want the animals there on your property, is that they move on their own, because they will find the most suitable relocation. And they'll know if they're in somebody's territory or not. So, you know, if you can intimidate them to move on, if you don't want them there, you know, if you got a koi pond in your backyard, that is an attractive nuisance. And, you know, especially with this ongoing drought and low food sources, you're going to have a variety of animals there. It can be really interesting. You probably won't have your goldfish for long, but you know, if you don't want them there, then you're going to have to take some kind of action to remove that attraction.
Of course, you do good work at the Wildlife Center. I know you're looking for financial support, donations, your nonprofit. How can people reach you?
Well, we have a pretty snazzy website, and you can donate online, and that's thewildlifecenter.org. We have a Facebook page, and the Wildlife Center. People can come by. They can call us at 753-9505. What we find is that, you know, mammals are a lot more expensive to feed than birds. You know, we have to feed them rats and mice, and all of which we have to buy. So it does increase our food bill significantly when we have a big mammal year.
All very worthwhile. Catherine Eagleson, the Wildlife Center, many thanks. It's 12:23 on at noon from KSFR News. Recent studies show that New Mexicans are not at all prepared financially for emergencies. KSFR's Charles Maynard has been looking at the data and has this report.
Both times, it's nice for a household to have some money saved to get them through. A new study by the FINRA Investor Education Foundation shows that New Mexicans are third worst in the nation for rainy day savings and have some other major financial difficulties. Christine Kiefer is a senior director with the foundation.
The FINRA Investor Education Foundation embarked on a study of the nation's financial capability. And our study is robust enough to look at financial capability levels at the state level. So when we think about New Mexico, in many respects, New Mexicans are like the citizens of other states. We're finding that a quarter report having outstanding on medical debt, but that's really in line with the rest of the nation. Still an alarming statistic. And two-thirds, unfortunately, failed our financial literacy quiz, which is really a basic quiz on topics such as interest rates, inflation, mortgages. And when it comes to spending and saving, 37% in New Mexico reported spending less than their household income on a monthly basis. And that's actually better than the national average of 41%. But unfortunately, there's some alarming signs of financial fragility in New Mexican households. Just 43% are really breaking even on a monthly basis. So that means spending each month about as much as they bring in. That works on a month when you don't have any sort of emergency. What we find in New Mexico is that nearly two-thirds of New Mexicans report not having any rainy day or emergency savings. And this is money that could cover 3 months or so of an unanticipated financial emergency. And that really puts a strain on a household and demonstrates this fragility. Nationally, for rainy day funds, it's a little bit better. We have closer to 56% do not have rainy day funds nationally. So New Mexico is 63%, in the nation, 56%.
If anything, the downturn in the economy has made savings even more necessary for those rainy days.
The traditional literature would say 3 months or more in savings to cover your basic living expenses. So that's gas to get to your job, food, child care costs, school costs, rent, or your mortgage, of course. All of these, your anticipated expenses for 3 or more months, that's a traditional. Now, with the economy the way it's been over the last decade or so, many people have questioned whether that should really be closer to 6 months. So the range these days is 3 to 6 months of financial emergency savings.
There's some good news about saving habits in the state.
Our study did find that New Mexicans are in line with the average in terms of retirement savings. So there is a good news story here that they're participating in their employer-sponsored savings plan, setting aside money for retirement. We just would like to see some increase in some short-term savings as well.
Ms. Kiefer adds another financial problem that we face has to do with charging purchases.
Credit card debt is a problem across the nation. In New Mexico, over half of the those with credit cards report carrying a balance from month to month and therefore being charged interest on a monthly basis. And more alarming, however, is that 40% of New Mexicans reported paying only the minimum on their credit cards each month, and that actually exceeds the national average. If you can't pay the full balance, you should sit down and think about how much you can afford to pay above the minimum every month. No matter if you can't pay the full amount, you need to think about how do you change the continual spending behavior. So how do you cut back on some of your spending so that you allocate more to paying down your credit cards each month and set a plan? Give yourself a goal date of how soon you can actually pay it off. Maybe it's an extra $50 a month that you need to allocate to your credit cards. But if it's more than the minimum, it's going to significantly reduce the amount of time you're being charged interest.
She says there are some good financial habits that can help.
At least once a year, families should sit down together, if it's a single household or a family, sit down and really look at their financial picture and actually try to figure out how much your retirement savings needs are and how much that 3 to 6 month savings need is for you. You need to think about what your goals are financially. And at a minimum, at least once a year, reevaluate what those goals are, make sure that your job prospects and your lifestyle are maintainable, and that you're setting goals for the future and really making a plan to meet those goals.
Christine Kiefer of the FINRA Investor Education Foundation.
I hope the New Mexicans can take some great tips and really get a hold of their finances.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
We've been speaking of drought, lack of water, and potential for fire danger, and in fact, fires. Now we're learning that the Forest Service is going to close the Sandia and Mountain Air Ranger districts right away. Now, they say that the tram and associated observation deck will stay open in the Sandia. All trails leading from the tram will be closed. A foothills trail, number 365, will be partially open, but only at lower elevations on the west side of the Sandias. Checking business news briefly of the economy, the Commerce Department says consumers pulled back on spending in April as their income remained steady. There have been fears among economists that the cutback in federal spending known as sequester and the expiration of some tax breaks that took place earlier this year would prove to be a drag in the economy this year. Today's report, according to some analysts looking at it, say could be another warning sign of those economic headwinds. Speaking of headwinds, the old curmudgeon's here for a minute.
I try to learn new things all the time, regardless of where I am or what I'm doing. I think it helps keep me young. The foolish part just comes naturally. Although I don't think it's genetic, because neither my brother nor sister basks in the cosmic splendor of foolishness like I do. For me, the jester is essential in keeping the universe synchronized. Notwithstanding all these pretend philosophical panderings regarding humor, throughout my life, my displays of attempted humor have often been triggered by feelings of uneasiness, embarrassment, and social ineptitude on my part. The classical, let's put everyone at ease, and especially myself, with a little laughter, or at least a smile. That's what makes the quote from writer Ella Wilcox so undeniably true. Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Laugh and snort, and you laugh and snort alone. Or something like that. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.